God has given parents an extremely important responsibility. We have the task of raising our children so that they may grow into healthy, mature, and responsible individuals. We are to guide our little ones or bigger ones, teach them right from wrong and other basic life lessons. We are to give them rules to follow. We are to show them love and discipline them when they disobey. And gradually our children will learn from us and learn from other influences in their lives. They also learn from their failures and from their victories. Now, as time passes on, each child goes through the natural stages of development. They move from baby to toddler to small child, adolescent, young adult, and so on. Their bodies grow physically, and they also grow in knowledge and in wisdom. Scripture consistently emphasizes the importance of training your children according to God's holy word, so that they will have a solid foundation and that they may learn to grow in godliness. Deuteronomy 6 tells parents that it is our duty to teach our children God's commands. It says here, when you sit in your house, when you walk by the way, and when you lie down, and when you rise up. In other words, God's word is to be taught to these children all throughout the day, every single day that they are in our care. And Proverbs 22:6 tells us, train up a child in the way he should go, and when he is old, he will not depart from it. This word of wisdom does not guarantee that we will have well-behaved children, but it does reveal the importance of instilling in our sons and daughters the necessity of wise and holy living. Our desire as parents is to see our children to grow in maturity and independence. But what if this never happens? What if your child continues to act like a toddler with constant temper tantrums, even into their adult years? He simply refuses to grow in maturity. Now, that would be a sad state and very disappointing for the parents. But in reality, some Christians seem to remain stagnant in their spiritual growth. It seems they are unable to grasp biblical doctrine. They walk in ungodliness. They are allowing the cares of this world to control their lives. They remain spiritual infants, satisfied with only taking in milk. That is the basics of the faith. But they never move on to the solid food, to the meat of deeper doctrine. Now, how does this happen? Well, many of these professing Christians sit under bad teaching, or they read books from false teachers, or else they refuse to listen to solid Bible preachers and teachers. And one of their biggest problems is that they rarely study their Bibles. They say doctrine divides. Well, maybe it does divide. Doctrine divides true believers from the pretenders and the spiritual infants. Today we will continue our study on the church as we consider our need for spiritual growth. I'll be reading today, and you can follow along in Ephesians chapter 4, and I will read verses 11 through 16. Again, Paul's letter to the Ephesians. And he gave the apostles, the prophets, the evangelists, the shepherds, and teachers to equip the saints for the work of ministry, for building up the body of Christ, until we all attain to the unity of faith and of the knowledge of the Son of God, to mature manhood, to the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ, so that we may no longer be children, tossed to and fro by the waves and carried about by every wind of doctrine, by human cunning, by craftiness and deceitful schemes. Rather, speaking the truth in love, we are to grow up in every way into Him who is the head, into Christ, from whom the whole body, joined and held together by every joint with which it is equipped, when each part is working properly, makes the body grow so that it builds itself up in love. This is God's holy word. Now in our passage, Paul tells us that our churches need good leaders. The first leadership role that we are given here is that of the apostle. Now in a general sense, an apostle is simply a messenger, someone who is commissioned by the church, perhaps as a missionary or a church planter. And in this way, there are many apostles today. But when the Bible speaks of the apostles, it refers to specific individuals who were commissioned directly by Jesus. Now, initially, the 12 disciples were called apostles, as we see in Matthew chapter 10. And after Judas's death, the remaining 11 brought in another apostle, whose name is Matthias. We also read that Paul and Barnabas are called apostles, and so is Jesus' brother James. These apostles were commissioned directly by Jesus to spread the gospel and to help build the church. Now here's another key characteristic of an apostle. Every instance in the New Testament we see of an apostle is someone who witnessed the appearance of Jesus Christ after his resurrection. So not just anyone could be given the title of the apostle. In Revelation 2:2, we read that some people called themselves apostles, but the Ephesians tested them, and they found that these men were nothing more than false apostles. Today, we no longer have a need for biblical apostles. Christ does not directly appear to anyone. He does not commission any more apostles. But again, we see that the apostles were very important in guiding the early church. We also see that Paul mentions here those who are prophets in the church. Now, the Old Testament prophet was given a message directly from God. He heard God audibly, and he was to take this special revelation, and he was to proclaim it to the rest of the people so that they would know God's word. The New Testament prophet had a similar function. So we see that the gift of prophecy is simply the supernatural ability to hear from God and to proclaim His word. And this was given by inspiration either of the Holy Spirit or else from a vision or encounter with Christ. Prophets were often given the ability to predict future events as well. Now, some people have claimed to be prophets, and yet they were found to be nothing more than liars and false prophets. Many of our cults, many of our false religions started through visions from a false prophet. For instance, Islam, Mormonism, Seventh-day Adventists, and Jehovah's Witnesses are among religions that started through false prophecies. Now, it's a serious claim to call yourself a prophet. Moses was told that anyone who claimed to be a prophet and yet whose prophecy was found to be false, that person was to be put to death. We also see from Hebrews 1 that we don't need prophets any longer. It says there that the Bible is sufficient in giving us God's word. We have the words of Christ given to us in God's word. We don't need new revelations, as God has given us all that we need to hear from Him. Now, the remaining three offices from verse 11 are a few of the leadership roles that continue in our churches today. First, we have those who are called evangelists. Now, an evangelist is simply a person who has the spiritual gift of sharing the gospel with non-believers. Now, of course, every Christian is called to proclaim the gospel. But there are some people who are especially gifted in this gift of sharing the gospel, that is, the good news of Christ. Now, some of these people may become full-time missionaries, while others will just use their gift to find opportunities to share their faith with anyone that they meet. In their boldness, they display this evangelism, which comes with a strong desire to see people saved. Next, Paul mentions shepherds. The shepherd is simply someone who is a pastor of a church. Jesus called himself the Good Shepherd, meaning that he guides his sheep, those who listen to his voice, those who follow him. Shepherds are also what are called the elders of the church. Now, these are the primary spiritual guides of each local church. Their goal is to speak biblical truths. Their goal is to train up their members to become mature disciples. This is a crucial role in the church, which Peter speaks of in his first letter, when he says to the elders of the churches, "Shepherd the flock of God that is among you, exercising oversight, not under compulsion, but willingly, as God would have you." He says, "Not for shameful gain, but eagerly, not domineering those in your charge, but being examples to the flock." So the shepherd is to guide his people both by explaining biblical truths and by living a godly life before them. The last role that Paul speaks of here is the teacher, which is similar to a shepherd. Teachers in the church are spiritually gifted with knowledge, discernment, and the ability to speak clearly to others. Now, pastors, of course, must have the spiritual gift of teaching. But we also see this gift in other church members, such as those who lead Bible studies and Sunday school classes. Now, some people will find that their biblical teaching is used primarily for discipling their children at home. In fact, all Christian mothers and fathers have a responsibility to teach their children the truths of Scripture. So God has set up these positions of authority within the church. But what is their purpose? Why do we need these leaders? Well, Paul tells us the goal of these faithful church leaders. He says it is our aim to disciple those in our care so that we help them to grow in Christian maturity. Spiritual leaders within the church, you see, are not like supervisors and other leaders in the business world. Some of these authority figures in the secular realm may be naturally gifted with leadership skills, or else maybe they have taken classes and learned some helpful leadership techniques. But church leaders, on the other hand, are to lead their people in spiritual maturity. So their ability to lead is a spiritual gift from God. We also realize that many of our problems within the church come from spiritual foes, from demonic forces of evil. And that's why we need spiritual protection and we need maturity. As Christians, we need to be equipped with the proper tools that help us to grow spiritually. We need to grow in Christ-likeness. We need to grow in godliness. This is the process that the theologians call sanctification, or growing to be godlier Christians. Now, in order for believers to grow spiritually, our church leaders need to proclaim the gospel. They need to, as Paul says in 2 Timothy 2:15, rightly divide the word of truth. Speak it clearly, speak it truthfully. We need sound doctrine. We don't need feel-good messages from ear ticklers. And when we receive a steady diet of sound biblical teaching, we start to become mature disciples. As Paul says in our passage, the body is then built up. We become unified in our faith. We become more like Christ. No longer are we children, but we become mature spiritual men and women. And our growth and maturity includes both an increase of knowledge and that of godliness or holy living. Now, what happens to those people who do not sit under sound gospel teaching and leadership? Many of these people remain spiritual infants. These are people who refuse to grow spiritually, and they are easily led astray by false teachers and false doctrines. Their lack of discernment becomes poisonous to their spiritual health. Now, spiritual discernment is something that needs to be learned through consistent Bible study, and it is to be practiced in our everyday lives. Listen to these words of rebuke from Hebrews 5. As the writer of Hebrews is talking to these spiritually immature believers, he says, "You need milk, not solid food. For everyone who lives on milk is unskilled in the word of righteousness, since he is a child. But solid food is for the mature, for those who have their powers of discernment," listen to this, "constantly, or trained by constant practice to distinguish good from evil." But you see, discernment detects even some of these subtle evils, some of these things that seem okay. Charles Spurgeon said, discernment is not a matter of telling the difference between right and wrong. Instead, he says, it is telling the difference between right and almost right. In other words, false doctrine is very subtle. You hear language that sounds biblical, and yet it twists the words of Scripture, maybe even just a little bit. Or else it brings in a new teaching that contradicts the Bible. Maybe you've heard someone say, God won't give you more than you can handle. But according to what we read in the Bible, that statement is false. God will give you more than you can handle. And he does this so that you rely on him, not on yourself. We read that God won't tempt you beyond a way of escape, but that's not the same thing. Or maybe you've heard people say that, well, surely a loving God wouldn't send good people to hell. Well, the problem with this way of thinking is that there are no good people. Paul tells us, no, not one is good. No man can do enough on his own to be called good. Our righteousness must come from Christ, not from ourselves. Otherwise, we could be saved by our good works if we could become righteous on our own. But we are saved by God's grace through our faith in Jesus Christ, not by our works, as Paul says, so that no man may boast. You see, there are so many false teachers among us today. And Jude warns of such men in his letter. He speaks of those who pervert the grace of God into sensuality. He talks of those who rely on dreams, they defile the flesh, reject authority, and they blaspheme all that they do not understand. He speaks of those who are shepherds, feeding themselves, waterless clouds, swept along by winds, fruitless trees in late autumn, twice dead and uprooted. He says they follow their own sinful desires. They are loud-mouthed boasters. They show favoritism to gain an advantage. And Jude then tells us that we need to save the people who sit under such false teachers. He says we need to snatch them out of the fire. So do you see the danger of these apostates? Not only do false teachers glorify themselves, not only do they seek material gain, but their doctrines send people to hell. Today's prosperity preachers talk about health and wealth, but they seem to be the only ones who are getting rich as they gain from their unsuspecting followers. But even worse than material loss, these self-proclaimed prophets preach a false gospel. They give their followers a false assurance of salvation. Some of their people think that they are saved, and yet they are on the wide road that leads to destruction. Paul reminds Titus that church elders have a duty to rebuke these deceivers, those who contradict sound doctrine. He says, false teachers profess to know God, but they deny him by their works. So church leaders also need to teach their people to be discerning so that we can detect who are false teachers. But immature believers tend to follow the newest popular Christian teachers. I use the term Christian very loosely there. And they follow best-selling authors. They are tossed about from one doctrine to the next, one false doctrine to the next. But take my advice. Find some solid Bible teachers. Listen to their messages. Read their books if they have written some. And get in the Word. We cannot be satisfied unless we are growing in our faith. Now let me just give a brief qualification for how we are to teach one another these biblical truths. Paul tells us in verse 15 that we are to speak the truth in love. Now, if you recall, in Matthew 12:34, Jesus told his listeners, "For out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks." Now, the Pharisees had been speaking evil against him because their hearts were full of evil. Christians, on the other hand, have been born again. We have new hearts. We have a desire to speak truth, to speak life to others. So how are we to speak to other believers? Again, we speak truthfully and we speak lovingly. Now, some people, however, tend to go to one of two extremes. Maybe you know someone who does speak the truth, and yet he says it without love. Some church members use their Bibles like a hammer. They try to beat the truth into other people. Do you think people will listen to them when they do this? But here's a helpful saying when we consider how to share the truth with someone. People don't care what you know unless they know that you care. Now there's the other extreme. Some people speak deceptively, or else they speak half-truths, and yet they do it in a way that sounds pleasant. They don't want to offend anyone, so they speak gentle lies to people. And they do it in a way in which they think they're being loving. But that's not love. To speak pleasant lies shows that you don't actually care about others. You just want to be liked. You fear men more than you fear God. But you know, people need both. They need the truth, and they need it spoken in love. When we as Christians speak the truth in love, we help one another to grow in spiritual maturity. We speak in ways that point other people to Christ. Now finally, Paul tells us that the body, which is the church, needs to come together while we are staying connected to our head, who is Christ. Christ is the head of his body, the church. And when we submit to his authority, when we abide in him, as we hear in John chapter 15, we grow, both as individual believers and as a church body. Unfortunately, one thing that we find happening in our churches today is that there are some people who simply stop coming. They don't wish to remain under biblical teaching, and they don't wish to remain under church leadership. But this is a clear display of disobedience to Christ. We are told in Hebrews 10 that we cannot neglect meeting together as a church. We are told that we are to assemble as a body, that we stir up one another to love and good works. And at the same time, when we do this, we encourage one another. And it says, we do this all the more as you see the day drawing near. That is the day when Christ returns. Now, the closer we all come to Christ, our head, the closer we come to the rest of the flock, because we are all coming toward him. And when we do this, we gather together. When each member of the church functions properly, when we study the word, when we use our spiritual gifts for God's glory and for the good of other people, then the whole body begins to grow in spiritual health. If you are a Christian, then you have a spiritual gift or spiritual gifts. Now, do you know how God has gifted you? Are you using your gifts for the church and for God's glory? We need to remain near to Christ. Again, we need to abide with him. And when we do this, we find that we will naturally produce spiritual fruit. And all of this benefits the church as we are being built up in love. We see here that Paul's words from Ephesians 4 remind us of the importance of loving, truth-speaking church leaders. We who are in authority have a major responsibility in the church. Hebrews 13:17 puts it like this: obey your leaders and submit to them, for they are keeping watch over your souls as those who have to give an account. Let them do this with joy and not with groaning, for that would be of no advantage to you. Did you catch that? It says there in Hebrews 13 that one day I will have to give an account for how I have kept watch over your souls. Did I bring you up in the truth of God's word? Or did I simply try to please men and tickle your ears with cute stories and pleasant lies? Friends, this is a high calling. Pastors and other church leaders must lead people closer to Christ, not to other things of the world. If you are not following Christ, why would you have any assurance that you belong to Him? That's why sound doctrine is so important. We need the truth. We need God's Word. We need to be committed to Jesus Christ and to His gospel. We must believe that God's Word is true and that it's sufficient for our faith. Now, if there is something that you find in God's Word which you do not like, which you read and you say, I don't believe that, then the problem lies with you, not with the Word. So it's unloving for us to allow our people to follow after lies. We need to speak the truth. We need to give our people Christ. So friends, let us do what we can to learn from the words of Scripture. That we would all listen to solid Bible teachers, myself included. I need to listen to other people as well. And that we need to come near to Christ. And this will help us to become more discerning when we do these things. It will help us to grow in spiritual maturity. We are to look to Christ, not to the distractions of the world and the temporary pleasures that we find here. But only Jesus can fulfill us. And we will find that we are complete only when Christ is with us. Let's pray. Father, we thank you for your word. We thank you that we can look to it and that it helps us to grow in wisdom and maturity. But God, help us to speak the truth, that we look to the words of Scripture and say, this is your word, I must believe it, and let's be dedicated to following what it says in these verses. God, I pray that our churches would be filled with true believers, and that you would put solid Bible teachers in our churches today, that many would hear the truth, many would believe, and that we would grow as disciples. Jesus told his disciples to go throughout the world, to make more disciples, teaching them all the words that he has already taught them, and that you would be with us until the end of the age. God, we rely on your Spirit within us. We rely on your word which we have been given. And Lord, we pray for a revival of more and more believers to trust in you and to grow in our faith. That we would be a body built up, as Paul says, of those who trust in you, who put aside false teachings, and look to our head, who is Christ. Amen.